was helpful to kind of settle down a little bit and to prepare your inner space also for these coming few days. I like to say a few words about myself. I'm a nun living at Citta Viveka, which is a mixed monastery. That means monks and nuns are living there. And I'm a nun since 18 years now. And I have been here quite a few times before. And I always very much enjoy coming back here. I feel it's a very peaceful place, and I think it's a place that is very conducive for our practice, for meditation practice, and also for just really letting things unfold and focusing really to what is happening internally. And I really want to encourage you for this time of the retreat to do that. The theme of the retreat is to look at the four Brahma-viharas, the four heavenly abidings, or heavenly dwellings. And what we are looking at, as you know from the program, is loving-kindness, the quality of loving-kindness, the quality of compassion, the quality of sympathetic joy and equanimity, and how we can develop those qualities in our practice, but not just in our practice, also in, I mean, not just in our formal practice, but also in our daily life experiences. And as you all know, what we are focusing on in our practice will flow more or less eventually into our everyday life. It will become part of our everyday life. So this is kind of the theme and the aim that I have with this coming few days and with the time we are spending together. I think the retreat managers mentioned to you that for the time that you are on a retreat, you are asked to keep the 8 precepts. And I'm, like, as a monastic, that is something I'm living with since more than 20 years. And I guarantee you it's okay, it's manageable to do that. And I hope there are no problems for you coming out of that. If you need any kind of support in terms of food or medications, please speak with Patrick or Michael about that if a situation comes up for you. A little bit more, a few more words about this weekend. I have got interested in the Brahma-viharas, I mean, since a long time, and one of my first retreats when I came to Amaravati, I think I was just a novice since a few weeks, and we had a Sangha retreat in the monastery. And at that time, Ajahn Sumedho was the leading abbot, and he led this retreat, and it was a retreat on metta and metta practice. And that retreat was, I think it was for a week or 10 days, something like that. And I was really, in the beginning, I was really looking forward to it. And then after maybe a day or two or three, I just came to a point where I couldn't hear the word metta anymore. it just brought up so much aversion. And you might be surprised to hear that, but something That happen. It's actually not so uncommon. Often when we open up, when we move into the practice of loving kindness, of compassion, of joy and equanimity, we encounter, one of the first things that we can encounter is all our resistance to that. So if anything like that happens for you, don't be surprised. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your practice. But what happens is things come to the surface that we might have not really acknowledged beforehand, that are there, that are waiting to be related to be seen, to be connected with. So if anything like that happens for you during these next few days, don't blame yourself, don't disparage yourself, don't put yourself down. It is very important. Like, the practice of the Brahma Viharas is really a way of connecting with an open heart to our present moment experiences. Like, when we are looking at the four Brahma Viharas, they are actually, when they are perfected or when they are developed, they are very beautiful states of mind. They are actually very high qualities of mind. And when we are entering into this practice, we have to be careful that we are not getting discouraged because we might, in our experience, not fulfill those high aspirations. But most of us are coming new into this, and when we are connecting with something new, one thing that is very important, and that is also part of this practice, is that we bring a lot of acceptance and a lot of patience with into this. And when we look, like the four Brahma Viharas, I have heard somebody referring to them as like a jewel with different facets. And however the light, or from whatever angle the light falls onto it, onto this jewel, another facet starts to radiate, starts to shine. So, how I have experienced it and how I'm seeing the four Brahma Viharas, it's like the basic or the foundation of the four Brahma Viharas is really loving kindness. And when, like, loving kindness is that quality of connecting, of responding, of acceptance, of what the heart needs in this present moment. Loving kindness is not just a quality of sweet love and yes, yes to everything, and kind of, sticky sweetness. That's not what loving kindness is. Actually, loving kindness in perfection is unconditional love. And just like when you look at that, unconditional love means a lot. Means a heart that is completely open to whatever it meets, without rejecting anything, without filtering out what it doesn't want, what it doesn't like. It's embracing it all. It's integrating and welcoming everything. So when loving kindness meets suffering, it turns into compassion. when it meets the joy of others or internal joy, it turns into sympathetic joy, it turns into mudita, it turns into the joy that comes up when we see whether our own good fortune, our own ability of internal joy, or when we meet joy in others. There's this capacity of saying yes to that, opening up to that, and responding to that experience in others or in ourselves with an openness, with an acceptance, with, in a way, with a radiance. And sometimes I have heard that really practicing mudita, practicing rejoicing in the joy of others, or rejoicing in the joy that you meet in your own heart, is one of the the most difficult aspects of the four Brahma Viharas. Because when we are meeting joy, often we are not quite allowing ourselves to rejoice with that. Because what comes in is our more critical capacities of mind. And most of us, and I can't say because I don't know you well enough, most of us have been growing up developing those critical aspects of mind, where we are actually asked to see ourselves and others with a very critical eye. So when somebody else, like when we see somebody else enjoying something, or maybe enjoying really good fortune, or enjoying moments that are very beautiful, often we tend to question that. Is that really so? And like almost as if we are bringing in a judgment if that is okay for them or not. And when we experience it for ourselves, we do the same with ourselves. And in that way, we often diminish or dismiss the quality that this joy can bring into our life, can bring into our practice. And it is something that has a really important place, and it has something to teach us. When we look at equanimity, equanimity brings the wisdom quality into those other experiences. It comes in regards to loving kindness. It comes in with really noticing what is happening, and keeping, like when we experience loving kindness, sometimes we can get a little bit carried away by it. And equanimity is the quality of keeping balance, of being centered, of not being carried away by anything. So in regards to loving kindness, we do experience like the quality of equanimity as something that keeps us centered, that keeps the heart open and yet poised I would say. It's like, so the heart keeps a balance by connecting, by relating, by being open. It's not carried away. When equanimity meets compassion or supports compassion, it is again like it's that quality of staying centered, it's that quality that allows when we are meeting suffering, when we are meeting suffering in ourselves or in others, that we are not getting overwhelmed by it, that we are not kind of drowning with the suffering. Equanimity helps us to keep a healthy balance that connects us with what is happening, we are feeling what is happening without getting carried away by it, without getting overwhelmed, drowning, or losing our ground. Like if we are meeting suffering in ourselves, it doesn't help us when we are losing the ground. It doesn't help us when we get carried away by it. We have to find means of holding the suffering, embracing the suffering, and connecting with it without losing our foundation. And equanimity is like the wisdom quality, like what equanimity brings in with it is also the quality of mindfulness, of patience, of holding our ground. And this is what equanimity teaches us in terms of developing compassion. And when we are speaking about compassion, it's the ability, it's the quality of mind to take in suffering without getting carried away, or like without putting ourselves onto a higher or better place than what we are seeing. Like when we are meeting somebody who is really like one of our friends, one of our relatives, or even somebody we don't know, and the other person is really kind of is really experiencing a lot of suffering. One way of relating to that is kind of coming from a place of, oh, how bad for you, like kind of developing or relating with a certain attitude of pity that puts ourselves into a better place. So we're looking down on that person. This is not really compassion. This is a very, I would say it's a very poor attitude of compassion. And compassion in Buddhist terms is more like feeling with, allowing the heart to experience the suffering, like the internal suffering or the external suffering, without losing ground. So in a way that we are actually can support what we are meeting. If we are getting drowned in the suffering of the other person, if we are losing our ground, we are not able to support with compassion anymore. Because we are moving into the same place as the other person is, then compassion doesn't really support. We can share something that the other person experiences, but not in a way that is really helpful, that's really supportive for the other person. So when we are looking over these next few days into compassion. We want to find ways of how we can develop compassion in a way that is really helpful for our own experience of, or for our internal experience of suffering, but also in regards to when we are meeting suffering outside, around us. What kind of ways are there that we can respond to that? That is supportive, that is encouraging, that is helpful and beneficial for the others or for ourselves. So when compassion meets sympathetic joy, not compassion, when equanimity meets sympathetic joy, again, sympathetic joy can carry us away, can carry us into very exuberant states of mind where we don't have much ground left. And so equanimity is kind of almost like drawing us back to a place where we can enjoy, but the joy is more in a quiet, in a peaceful way. And it doesn't mean we are not feeling the joy in our hearts, but it means like, it's like, I would say sympathetic joy with the support of equanimity is like one thing that comes up in my mind is the picture of a, like say, a grandmother or a grandfather who is watching their grandchildren, how they are playing, how they are enjoying something, and they can do that with a gentle joy without getting carried away by what they are doing, what they are experiencing, but with that attitude of spacious allowance, if you can say that. It's like there's a kind of smile on their face. And they are enjoying what they are seeing, but they are not in any way getting carried away by that. As a parent, I know myself that when your children do things, you're getting very attached to what they are doing. And even if they're enjoying something, you're getting very involved and somehow identified by what you're seeing. And I think one of the qualities of mudita, of sympathetic joy, is that you experience the joy in your heart, and yet it doesn't carry you away from where you are. It keeps you in a place that is open, that is embracive and welcoming, without losing your ground, without getting carried away into the story of somebody else or into internal stories, like if it's about joy that you experience for yourself. And I think equanimity on the whole has the quality of keeping balance, not keeping balance. It's almost like staying in the middle, like walking the middle path without going into one extreme or the other. Like when we look at compassion or sympathetic joy, like with compassion, equanimity helps us not to move into the extreme of suffering, and with joy, equanimity helps us not to lose ourselves into exuberance. Like with both extremes, we are actually losing the clarity of mind. And with those mind states of loving kindness, compassion, of sympathetic joy and equanimity, one of the qualities of all of them is that the heart is open, the mind is clear, and we are meeting life in all its facets and qualities with an attitude of spaciousness, of acceptance, of an inner balance that helps us to connect with and practice an embodiment of those mind states. I hope that makes sense. I hope that gives you a feeling of what we are looking into this next few days. And tomorrow morning we are start, and in the early mornings I want to just have quiet sittings. It's like the first sittings in the morning before breakfast are just quiet sittings, and we stop with a short chanting, and then there will be, after we are stopping here, there will be a few minutes that you have before breakfast. And then after breakfast, and that is for tomorrow on Sunday, and on Monday morning, I will give some guided meditations and some also like explanations about the practice that we are doing here. We will also have one or two periods of questions and answers that I will, probably in the afternoons. And then in the evenings we start with some chanting, and then I like to do the talk after the Dhamma reflection after the chanting, and then we end each evening with the meditation practice together. Like from my own experience, I feel it works better if there's a reflection earlier in the evening and to end the evening quietly with meditation practice. For myself, that works better, and I have heard also very positive comments from others about that. So that's what I have in mind, so you get a little bit of a feeling of, hopefully, of what this weekend will be like. But of course, that is just the outer format. What will unfold for you is open, and my encouragement to you all is really take to heart that the basic of the four Brahma Viharas is really the practice of acceptance, of a gentle approach, of an openness to whatever you meet, whether in your meditation practice or in the rest of your life, doing this retreat, but also later on. And it's not about creating some artificial attitudes, yeah? It's more about really being present with what is unfolding, with the attitude of acceptance. So if what is unfolding is difficult for you, with acceptance, we can embrace it. Acceptance here doesn't mean we have to like negative states of mind. Who does? They do create suffering. They are uncomfortable, they are unpleasant, they are painful. So we don't need to like them. But in order to go beyond them, in order to transform them, We have to find a way of connecting with them. And this is what the Brahma Viharas can teach us. They help us to connect with what is difficult. They give us different ways of approaching those states of mind, those experiences. And I hope that this weekend will support you finding ways for yourself of connecting. And I hope you will enjoy this coming few days. I'm ending here for tonight. If it is now about 9:10, I'd like to sit another 20 minutes or something like that. Would you like to do that?